Good morning. Welcome to Shattering Myths, the program devoted to those who know that the world's religious, political, economic, and military institutions are corrupt, that they have become counterproductive. I am Yada. Our number, anytime over the next 2 hours, is 877-300-7645. Right in the land of a thousand lakes, FBI agents have arrested six people in Minnesota on connection with terrorism. In this particular case, the connection isn't really with terrorism. They didn't do anything that would be considered terrorism. Their goal was to aid and benefit the Islamic State. So, in America, these individuals, six people, were Muslims, and they were arrested because they wanted to support Islam. Several of those arrested, were members of Minnesota's, particularly Minneapolis's, sizable Somali population. You see, you can take the Muslim out of Somalia, but you can't take the Islam out of the Muslim. Once a person has become indoctrinated by a religion, it is nigh on impossible for them to jettison it. And it will continue to fester until it not only consumes them, but in the case of Islam, is malignant and destroys all living cells surrounding it. It's the nature of the religion. It can't be fixed. It isn't resolvable. You can't love them into peace. You can't do anything in their countries or in them that is going to make a difference. Now, that is not to say that there aren't some religious individuals that come to sanity, that begin to consider evidence and reason, that don't march off like lemmings, thoughtless, but covered in their faith. There are. But for an individual to start questioning their religion, they have to have an open mind. They have to be willing to go where facts and evidence lead. And very, very few individuals are willing to do that. And extraordinarily few Muslims. You see, in Islam, there's a significant disincentive from doing so. The Quran itself says the opposite of what Yahweh says. The Quran says that if you question it, you will lose your faith. Yahweh wants you to question him. He wants you to be observant. He wants you to exercise good judgment. He says it over and over again. But in the Quran, if you were to do these things, you would cease to be a Muslim because it is unbelievably repulsive, the religion at its core. Its founder was amongst the most perverted sexual predators to have ever lived. He was a ruthless terrorist. There is a 0% possibility that you can be informed, rational, and Islamic. So that is the disincentive. The Quran says if you start to question the Quran, you will cease to be a Muslim. Oh, but I forgot that other part in the fourth surah. Because that's in the fifth surah. In the fourth surah, it says that if a Muslim questions their faith and leaves Islam, they must be killed. So to leave Islam, the disincentive is that Muslims will kill you. So you don't have a lot of questioning Muslims, and therefore you can't do anything to solve this problem. So America, stupidly, brought Somali refugees into this country, thinking it was doing a good thing, but all it did is bring in the most deadly and destructive disease humanity has ever known, Islam. All FBI spokesman said is that in a news conference is that they will confirm the six arrests. They won't give you the names of the individuals, but said that they were indicted on charges to support the Islamic State and lying to federal agents. Oh boy, you can't lie to a federal agent. Now, the federal agent can lie to you, but you can't lie to them. I would call that hypocrisy, part of the hypocrisy of America. we pay their salaries, and we can't tell them to freeze, to lay down prostrate in the dirt. We can't put our knees in their backs and handcuff them. We can't rob them of their freedom. But even though they work for us, they can do all of those things to us, even if we've done nothing wrong. And then when we resist them and their belligerence, we can go to jail for resisting them and their belligerence. It is the new America. Yes, they are under arrest now for having lied to federal agents. And there is a rumor that they were recruiting potential Islamic State jihadists amongst the Islamic population of America. Dozens of people from Minneapolis, St. Paul, many of them Somali youths, have traveled or attempted to travel overseas to support the Islamic State or Al-Shabaab. Let them go. If they want to go back to the hell of Islam, let them. It's the safest thing for everyone involved. The news has come and gone that the Iraqi militant leader, and he's really the former right-hand man to Saddam Hussein, has been killed in Iraq. At the time he was killed, he was leading a Islamic State brigade. His name was Al-Dori. He was 72 years old. He led a large order of tribal Sunnis under the umbrella of the Islamic State. It was one of the main Islamic Sunni organizations, militant organizations, in Iraq, and it was, even in the journalistic parlance, quote-unquote, a key force behind the recent rise of the Islamic State, end quote. And I heard newscast after newscast talk about the fact that this, I don't know if it was the King of Clubs or King of Spades, he was in the deck of cards that America wanted dead or alive. He was in the top five or six. Might even have been the five. I guess the aces would be the highest and the kings the second, and he was amongst the kings. So why do I bring this up? Why do I tell you that, yeah, it was reported that, oh, yeah, we'll find the identity. We finally got him. They got him. And, boy, that was one of the guys we really wanted to get. Why? Because there is this myth that the Islamic State grew out of Al-Qaeda. It's not true. We know that isn't true because Saddam Hussein and those closest to him, this was the top aide of Saddam Hussein, military aide of Saddam Hussein, was overtly opposed to the Islamic State. In fact, Al-Qaeda and the Islamic State were so hostile to one another that when Saddam Hussein invaded Kuwait, which was in the world's interest, and was poised to invade Saudi Arabia, which would have also been in the world's interest, he is a much better, more benign dictator than either of the emirs or king of Kuwait or Saudi Arabia. He is overtly anti-was Islamic terrorism, where they are the world's biggest benefactors of Islamic terrorism. Well, when he was poised to invade Saudi Arabia, at that time, Al-Qaeda, and particularly Osama bin Laden, went to the king of Saudi Arabia, of whom he knew personally because his father was his best friend, and said, you know, we have just defeated the Soviet military in Afghanistan, albeit with American weapons. But, you know, you have lots of American weapons. We have Mujahideen. We have fighters who are trained and skilled in deploying American weapons. So if we can defeat the Soviet military with American weapons in Afghanistan, we as sure as hell can beat Saddam Hussein. We want the job. But since the king of Saudi Arabia was a fundamentalist Muslim, he knew that he couldn't trust the Muslims and chose not to have Al-Qaeda deployed to destroy Saddam Hussein and his military. But, and gave that job to the other individuals campaigning for it, which was King George I of the United States. But what the story proves, beyond any chance of disagreement, is that there not only was no connection between the Islamic State, or should say Al-Qaeda at the time, between Al-Qaeda and Saddam Hussein or Iraq. They were mortal enemies. And now here is the number two guy in the Saddam Hussein regime. And I think the other aces after Saddam were his sons. So this is the top guy. And what is he doing? The top guy of a regime that was so anti-Al-Qaeda that Al-Qaeda wanted to go to war to take them out of power. And now this individual is the head of the most, or was until he was killed over the weekend, was the head of the most powerful militant wing of the Islamic State. You ought not have to have a PhD to be able to make these connections. That means that every reference to Al-Qaeda in Iraq was an absolute lie, as was all stupidity in the media and in politics suggesting that the Islamic State grew out of Al-Qaeda. The Islamic State grew out of America's invasion of Iraq. America's responsible for the Islamic State. And it's not just that the Islamic State grew out of America's invasion of Iraq. It's that we are the arms behind it. You see, America unleashed Shia Islam against Sunni Islam by breaking the country. And then, to create some semblance of balance between the two in the midst of the religious civil war, the Awakening Program provided men like this with vast armies. Right there, but not a single news media made it. That the Islamic State isn't comprised of Al-Qaeda members. It's comprised of those who despised Al-Qaeda. That's profound. That means that Petraeus's Awakening Program and George Bush's surge, rather than, as Republicans like to call it, this great military strategy, was buffoonery. It's counterproductive. In fact, the day it was announced, I devoted two shows to examining it and telling you that it would backfire, that it would lead to exactly this result. And it did. This is a product of the U.S. military. And it tells you everything you need to know about why the civil war exists in Syria, which is directly related to this, because as America invaded Iraq and deposed the best dictator in the Islamic world, that's still a creep, but he was the best dictator in the Islamic world by a considerable margin. We essentially gave Iraq to Iran. And when the Shia Muslims were unleashed, they went on killing sprees, annihilating Christians, and then beginning to refight the war that they had not lost, but had come to a draw between Iraq and Iran. Now they were in a position to annihilate the Sunni Muslim population of Iraq and incorporate Iraq into Iran. That's what America did. And then America essentially gave the mullahs, the Shia Muslims, the right to control those elections, and they did. And so Iraq's military is Iran. The units that are actually successful and holding off the Islamic State are Iranian military units. And that's where we find ourselves today. We made this mess. It is wholly and completely our responsibility. By trying to influence the situation, impose American values on Iraq, we made the situation infinitely worse. It's not that our military did their best and we should be proud of their service and that they went over there to provide for our freedom. None of that. They made a bad situation infinitely worse. They did a horrid job. And those who directed them should all be tried for treason, as they made America vastly less safe, and they ignited a civil war that has killed hundreds of thousands. A war that will continue to fester until it ultimately ignites into World War III. Millions and then billions of people are going to die simply because our government was unwilling, unable to recognize that the problem was Islam, and that by dividing and then arming Sunni and Shia Muslims, that you would end up with a horrid civil war. And that's where we find ourselves today. And we don't find ourselves there because of Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda doesn't even exist anymore, hasn't been relevant, really, since America deployed them to fight a proxy war against the Soviets. And folks, if you're unwilling to make the connections, if you're unwilling to peel back the layers of history, if you're unwilling to look at your government with an open mind and value evidence over reason as opposed to just fall prey to the indoctrination that it's a good thing to be patriotic, then you're going to constantly be led astray, played for a fool by government that is spending your money making bad things worse around the world. Reuters is reporting that a suicide bomb, guess who detonated that, because Muslims seem to have 100% monopoly on suicide bombers. After all, 9/11 was a suicide bombing in Afghanistan's eastern city of Jalalabad, killing 33 people and injuring more than 100 on Saturday outside of a bank where government workers collect salaries. You know how Muslims always say, yeah, America, you had it coming to you. In fact, Jokhar Shanarev, as he scribbled his blood-stained message inside of the plastic boat for which hundreds, if not 1,000, federal agents were riddling it with bullets, explained that as a Muslim, he had every right and duty to kill non-Muslims because non-Muslims were killing Muslims. Because America was killing Muslims, he needed to kill Americans. These morons, they're incapable of recognizing that while, yes, America does do stupid things that lead to the deaths of lots of Muslims, the fact of the matter is, Muslims kill vastly more Muslims than do non-Muslims. It has been the case for a very long time. In fact, I suspect it's been the case since the beginning, all the way dating back to Muhammad. This is a cannibalistic religion. It is a death cult. And Muslims are responsible for killing Muslims. The police chief said it was a suicide attack, but he had yet to determine if the attacker had worn the explosives or he had them placed in a car. It's too early to tell what kind of suicide bomber. How about this? A Muslim suicide bomber. Yeah, how about that? My guess is it was a Muslim suicide bomber. How about you? Probably a Minnesotan, since they seem to be a high percentage of Minnesotans now that are becoming Islamic terrorists. The Taliban insurgents, however, denied. How could the Taliban be called insurgents? You know, the United States deployed, rented the Taliban from Pakistan to fight a proxy war against the Soviets in Afghanistan. It led to a lot of people dying. And then after that, of course, rather than having a Soviet government, a Soviet influenced government in Afghanistan, the consequence of America, which, by the way, was incapable of figuring this out. Zygmunt Brzezinski, the great scholar of the left, and Jimmy Carter, the peanut farmer turned president and anti-Semite, weren't capable of analyzing what the consequence would be of America supplying $5 billion worth of weapons to the fundamentalist Muslims and telling them to go play and kill infidels. Now, the consequence was the Taliban took over control of Afghanistan. Gee, that was hard to figure. And when they were in charge of Afghanistan, they were far more brutal. That's a far worse consequence for the Afghani people than was the case when the Soviets were there. So how can the government, the former government of Afghanistan, be called insurgents? But nonetheless, the media in America aren't very bright, so that's what they called them. Anyway, the Taliban insurgents denied responsibility. The militants who were ousted from power by the U.S.-led invasion. And to call them militants ousted from power, they were the government. They ran the country. You know, it's yes, they were former militant. That's why we chose to use them as a proxy war. And then America turned on them. We turned on our ally. You can't trust America. They claim that they rarely claim attacks where large civilian populations die. Now, in this particular case, the 33 who were killed and the 100 or so who were mutilated were just government workers. Now, the fact is that the Taliban quite often thinks that the government and anyone taking a paycheck from that puppet government is okay to kill. But in this case, they said, no, it was an evil act. So some other Muslim group did it, and one Muslim group is calling the terrorist attack evil. We strongly condemn it, this evil act, the Islamic militant spokesman Zabihullah Mujahid told Reuters. Police said another blast that shook Jalalabad was a controlled detonation after experts discovered a further bomb close to the scene of the first explosion. They put the second bomb in because they want to kill those who come to the aid of those who they have mutilated. Local media reported a former spokesperson from the Taliban. This would be the Pakistani Taliban, as if there is another Taliban. I guess we're distinguishing now between the Afghani Taliban and the Pakistani Taliban as if there were a distinction between them. There is none. For bombings in the eastern city on behalf of the Islamic State in both Pakistan and Afghanistan. So the Taliban is saying, nope, we didn't do it. It was evil. But a spokesperson, which means a leader, a trusted confidant for the Taliban, is saying, we did it, and we did it under the name of the Islamic State. Now, that should be a big concern. And that is that, well, the Taliban in Afghanistan recognizes that they do not need to affiliate themselves with the Islamic State to garner power because they have as much control over Afghanistan now as they did before the U.S. invasion. And the moment America leaves, their grip on Afghanistan will be ironclad. But there are other elements in Afghanistan that are not quite as numerous, that aren't quite as well equipped, and for them to garner power, they need to align with whoever is the most successful Islamic terrorist organization of the day, and that day, today, that is the Islamic State. And so we have seen exactly what I predicted, that once America declared war on the Islamic State, they would become the largest, most popular, most lethal terrorist organization in the world, that are declaring war on them rather than eliminating them as the politicians pounding their chest in Washington, who agreed with this war, stupidly, have said that it would make them more powerful, that it would have exactly the opposite effect, and that is what is occurring. Turning to Boston and this day that the Boston Marathon is being run, Shanarov, who has not testified in his trial. Now, he's been found guilty, as I understand it. I mean, I've been watching a variety of different trials. And I don't know if the verdict is over in that trial. It was certainly over in the trial of Hernandez in Boston area, the other New England-based trial. And it may just be in the penalty phase. I mean, it doesn't matter. Shanarov is... Attorneys have already admitted, and I think it is over, so we're just in the penalty phase. They finally published, because with the trial, they have no choice. The government wanted to keep this secret, but was unable to do so because of the public trial. Shanarov's bloodstained message inside of the plastic boat as he was being surrounded and fired upon by countless federal agents. Yes, this one wounded Muslim with a probably empty handgun at the time, being surrounded by hundreds if not thousands of U.S. agents. He wrote, "The U.S. government is killing our innocent civilians, but most of you already know that," Shanarov wrote. "As a Muslim, I can't stand to see such evil go unpunished. We Muslims are one body. You hurt one, you hurt us all. I don't like killing. It is forbidden in Islam. But due to said unintelligible, it is allowed." What an idiot. Not only is killing not forbidden in Islam, it is what Muhammad did. He was a mass murderer. And as a mass murderer, since Islamic law is based entirely on Muhammad's life, killing is integrated into Islam. It's a death threat, a death cult. The Quran, it tells Muslims to lie in wait and ambush, using all manner of weapons to kill anyone who does not submit to Islam. It's an open-ended declaration of war against all mankind. But the fact of the matter is that Muslims have been hoodwinked into believing that their plight, the death of Muslims, who are, by the way, not innocents, they are infected with the most deadly virus man has ever known, is being perpetrated by the West, that the Jews and the Christians are responsible for the horrible plight of Muslims, as opposed to Muslims themselves taking responsibility for what their religion has done to them. And that, as we just read the story in Afghanistan, and as we read what is happening every day throughout the Middle East, where Muslims are not only killing fellow Muslims, but killing Christians and Zoroastrians and all manner of individuals. That if Muslims wanted to avenge the death of Muslims, they would have to be self-mutilating. That is the only way to go about it. Now, it's not to say that the United States, with its drones and with its military, hasn't killed lots of innocent people. But it is to say that if you're opposed to those killing Muslims, if you need to avenge the killers of Muslims, then you're going to be engaged in what Iran and the Islamic State are engaged in today, a religious civil war where you're going to kill one another. The next story here is brought to us by the Associated Press. It is Dateline Cairo. It says that it reads, the Islamic State militants in Libya shot and beheaded groups of captive Ethiopian Christians. Gee, so in Islam, killing is not permitted. And yet, while reciting Quran verses, the Islamic State is assassinating and decapitating non-Muslims. I guess that, according to Islam, is not killing. It's, I don't know, maybe it's bloodletting. Maybe it's a new tickling game in Islam. Maybe it's just target practice. But no, shooting a bullet into somebody's head at point-blank range while they are incapacitated, tied hand and foot, and cutting off their head while they are defenseless. No, that's not killing in Islam. No, that isn't. And, you know, you notice, too, that what did Shinarev do? He came with a bomb that he took great time and pleasure making. And he detonated that bomb amongst unarmed civilians. What did the Islamic State do? They didn't attack a military institution. They didn't attack a Libyan army. They attacked unarmed and defenseless Christians and cut off their heads and used their heads as for target practice. That's what they did. That's what they have always done. That is why Islam cannot be tolerated. It is a death cult. It continues to kill. And until more people say what I've been saying on this program, that it needs to be contained, they will continue to do so. So the AP article begins, the Islamic State militants, as if there's a difference between a militant and Islamic State. I mean, in the case of the Islamic State, why even add the word militant? You know, if you want to call them what they are, they're jihadists, they're mujahideen. That's the religious term for them, but Islamic State says it all. And Libya, and they're operating, of course, now in Libya because America declared war on them, and because Libya is the place where America poured in a literal mountain of weapons, which are being deployed throughout the Islamic world. And Libya is the country where we, not having learned our lesson in Iraq and having made a bad situation in Iraq worse by ousting the secular dictator, did the same thing in Libya. Boy, when you make the same mistake twice over that short a period of time, that says that there is absolutely no hope for that country. They shot and beheaded groups of captive Ethiopian Christians. Why do they kill captives? I mean, there is no military that would shoot videos of killing captives unless it's the Nazis who, in most cases, didn't have the Jews captive. In most cases, they went after the civilians because they blamed the Jews on their plight, and therefore they said the Jews had it coming, so they just simply herded Jews into cattle cars and then off the cattle cars to kill them in mass and film the whole thing. But in the case of the Islamic State, they go after Christians. Now, there is, of course, no connection whatsoever between a Libyan Christian and any harm that's ever come to a Muslim. But nonetheless, they incapacitate them before they kill them. That sounds kind of like the United States police agencies. And they not only kill them in this way as cowards, but they celebrate it. The attack widens the circle of nations affected by the group's atrocities while showing its growth beyond a self-declared caliphate in Syria and Iraq. No, it doesn't. It's not widening it. I mean, where has AP been? I mean, there have been for the last several months declarations of atrocities in the name of the Islamic State in Nigeria and Chad and Libya and Egypt and Somalia and Yemen and, you know, goes on and on. The release of the 29-minute video comes the day after Afghanistan's president blamed the Islamic State for a suicide bombing that killed at least 35 people and underscores the chaos gripping Libya after its 2011 civil war. It wasn't a 2011 civil war. No, it was a proxy war that America, Senator John McClown and the Obaminator, decided that they would join forces and bomb Muammar Gaddafi. And what we ended up with, because Americans seem to be incapable of understanding cause and consequence, is we ended up with a terrorist state. And the chaos that we left in our wake is very similar to the chaos America left in its wake in Afghanistan. The same chaos that America left in its wake in Iraq. The same chaos America left in its wake with its drone war over Yemen. The same chaos America has left in its wake in Pakistan and in Egypt. We're good at screwing things up. It also mirrored a film released in February showing militants beheading 21 captured Egyptian Christians. That film was a fake, which was immediately drew Egyptian airstrikes on the group's suspected positions in Libya. Whether Ethiopia would or could respond with similar military force remains unclear. Why is that even relevant? I mean, why even was the one bombing mission that Egypt took over Libya relevant other than to show the war is expanding? Why is Ethiopia's response to what the Islamic State did, and whether or not they will try to fight fire with fire, will try to resolve murder with more murder, relevant? It's like this myth when I tell people we should not have invaded Afghanistan, we should not have invaded Iraq, and they say, well, you had to do something about 9/11. So, in their mind, not understanding how 9/11 was staffed, the motivations behind it, who conceived the plan, that's all irrelevant. Just go do something. If you do something, oh, that's much better than doing the wrong thing. We'll be back in a moment.